Good morning, Wake Up HCC, Chris Oviedo and
Brandon Byrne.
Coming to you live this Wednesday with a feel of Tuesday, right? Yeah. Doesn't it feel like Tuesday today?
Yeah, but it's already Wednesday.
It is already Wednesday.
Favorite kind of Tuesday.
Coming from the basement in McEwen Hall live right here at Howard Community College. And we hope that everybody had a wonderful long weekend. It was Memorial Day weekend, and I have to say there's something special about Memorial Day. It's really, you know, these are holidays that we do not celebrate in Ecuador. These are American holidays.
Yeah.
And but there's something special about them. It really, you know, with my neighbors, and it just brings awareness to everybody, and it brings it kind of like forces us to look at the armed forces and everybody who's fought and who's fighting for this country to be free and great. And I think it pushes us to be better people, in a sense. You know, if we bring that forth and we really think about it, we should all just try to be better, better neighbors, better people, better moms, dads, everything, you know,
yeah,
on a regular basis, because they, you know, especially Memorial Day. I mean, we're paying this, you know, we're remembering those who paid the ultimate sacrifice and never made it out, right?
Yes.
Thank you to everyone who watches or listens our show and it's involved in the military and or in any of the armed forces in any sort of type of way. We really, really appreciate your service. And like I said, Memorial Day, at least for me, was an opportunity to really think about that, and just pushes me to be better, because if we have the freedom that we have in this country, the reason I came to this country is because of how great it is. So I appreciate it. So from this immigrant who came into this country in 2001, I thank you very, very much. And, you know, talking about making the world a better place and really continuing to preserve the world for the future generations, we have two guests in the studio this morning with us, Caroline File and Kent Phillips. They're both mustard gardeners. And welcome. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are very, very pleased to have you in our studio today to talk about, well, today, let's start here. It's National Learn About Composting Day, right? And
I had it marked in my calendar and everything. just like every year.
And, you know, Caroline, you actually brought it to my attention before we came into the studio this morning, that this is not a new trend, despite of what a lot of people believe, right? This is not something that just started happening a few years back. This has been from the time gardening started. We've been composting. Maybe we just didn't call it that, or maybe we didn't pay attention. I don't know why, but this feels like a new trend and that everybody should get on board with it, and it's just happening now, and we've just recently discovered this new way of gardening. But you brought it to my attention before we came in. This is not new. This has been since the beginning of gardening. So we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to talk about the master gardeners, what they do, and what we need to pay attention, you know, to gardening, and what we all need to be part of it. But before we do that, I'd like to get to know both of you guys. So I don't know, let's start with you, Kent, if you want to tell me a little bit about yourself and how you became a master gardener, why this is important to you, you know, what drove you into this type of work.
Well, I've actually been gardening since 1976.
Okay.
And started off with organic gardening with Rodale. But I started vegetable gardening back then because I had twin daughters born. So it was an attempt by me to feed them food with less pesticide and everything else in them.
But that's great motivation right there.
Yeah, it's good motivation.
Yeah.
And I became a master gardener in 2009, and it was after I retired and stopped working, and I was looking for some volunteer work to do, and that's one of the big things that master gardeners do is they volunteer to educate the public like we're doing today, except today it's just about composting versus all the other things that master gardeners do.
That's wonderful. It sounds like you had great motivation going into it and you know, keeping up with it. I mean, I guess once you got into it, you realized
yep,
this is something worth telling everybody.
Yep.
Caroline, how about you? How did you? I know you said you have a funny story, so I'm dying to hear it.
Okay, my story is very different. You speak to most master gardeners. Most of them come from some sort of a farming background, a lot of them, their parents or grandparents.
Okay.
With me, I was at the Baltimore Symphony one night, and at intermission, I was feeling a bit tired because during the day I'd done a lot of gardening, and so I was just resting and I didn't get out of my seat. And the woman sitting next to me, she didn't get out of her seat at intermission either. And so we began to talk, and she told me she was a master gardener. And I said, what's a master gardener? And here I am. I became a master gardener in 2008, and that's my story.
That's great. So physical, you know, the physical work that you got from it is really what got you into it.
Well, besides vegetables, I like making landscaping with flowers and stuff, and I do a lot of things growing from seed and have a good time with that. And it's very gratifying when you're working with soil. It just makes you feel good afterwards.
And we recently had the administrator of the new garden here at HEC just come into our studio and talk to us. And that's, you know, that's exactly what she said, which I, you know, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but maybe it's because I feel like I don't have a green thumb. But gardening really, really worries me. It's like I have plants at home that my mom has planted for me, like inside my house. And she has to pretty much text me, like, have you watered the plants? And I'm like, oh, gosh, I have to water the plants. Like, I am really, really bad about this. So is this something that, you know, you should have in you? Is this something that you can grow into? You know, just gardening in general? I mean, have you found, because like you said, most people that you've found have some sort of background with it, but then you have people like me who are very intimidated by it. So, I mean, is this for everyone? Is there hope for me?
Sure.
Of course there is.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, so there's a distinction here, right? There's gardeners and master gardeners. So can we explain that a little bit better? You know, why are you guys called the master gardeners? Did you go to university to get that title? Or like, how does that work?
Do you have a master's in gardening?
No, we don't have a master's in gardening. Master gardeners, we're part of the University of Maryland. We're trained volunteers. Mm. And we're representatives of the University of Maryland Extension. And basically, we're advocates of a greener and healthier environment.
Okay.
We're trained. We go through training for about 8 weeks, and that's during the January and March timeframe. We're educated by University of Maryland faculty and experts in their field. At the end of the internship program, you become a master gardener.
So you said something interesting. I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off right there. You said from January to March, mm-hmm. right? That doesn't sound like prime gardening time.
Well, that's with classroom time.
Okay, so you guys actually go into
with
the
training,
classroom?
Yes. And it's a classroom thing.
Okay,
yeah.
And you have like, can you talk to me a little bit about this? Because this feels to me like one of those classes where you would have to be hands-on,
no,
you know,
we,
in order to learn. Like, that's my idea.
We get lectures.
Okay, interesting.
We get lectures.
Interesting. And you'd learn about plants, how to grow them. What kind of things are people learning in these lectures?
You learn about it. Basically the whole, for lack of a better word, tapestry about gardening. So you start off with soil, what components are soil. Mm-hmm. Soil's made up of sand, silt, and loam. Then you go into, you know, composting. You go into the biology of plants. You go into insects. So it's basically that whole tapestry about everything that surrounds gardens.
Wow. That's great.
And the environment, gardening,
yeah,
and the environment.
Environment.
Yeah, and you said that's one of the missions that you guys have to sustain the environment. So, how are you guys, you know, bringing that into your, you know, the work that you guys are doing? How is that part of it, right? How is gardening saving mm-hmm. the world, I guess?
Okay, well, first of all, I like to joke. We work by committees,
mm-hmm.
and I like to say, unlike many congressional committees, we're very accommodating. And we have, for example, one of our committees is a composting committee.
Okay.
And what we do, we work together. We work at the libraries certain mornings, like, for example, at Miller Library, certain Saturday mornings and Monday nights, we have master gardeners at their enchanted garden, and we give away compost bins free. Everything is free. And we give out literature to explain how to compost, and we talk about it, the basics of composting, because it's really not very difficult. Just understanding what you should do and what you shouldn't do.
Right.
The basics.
Okay.
And it's really quite easy. And you'd be amazed how the kids come with their parents, and the kids know more about it than the parents because they learned about it in school.
Right. And not only that, but I feel like they also don't have that intimidation, you know, or that tried it and failed type of experience. For them, it's new, and it's playing with dirt, and it's exciting, yeah. Right? It's exciting. So I feel that should be the prime age where to start teaching kids, you know, to work with this kind of things. Because I remember playing with worms when I was little, and I see a worm now, and I literally give myself a mile between the worm and me, you know, I really walk around it. So, but I'm sorry, I cut you off as you were telling us, you know, who the master gardeners are. And I'd like to get back to that.
Well, I think I basically, you know, gave you the basics.
Okay, very good. Very, yeah. Very good.
And master gardeners, once you become an intern, you have a certain number of volunteer hours you have to do during your intern year to become a master gardener once you do it. And then every year thereafter, you have to take 10 continuing education hours.
Okay.
And you can pick that up basically anywhere, but it basically increases your knowledge about gardening and about the earth and soil and everything else that goes along with it.
Is it like every other, I guess, subject out there where with technology and time just advancing, things are changing also, you know, within the gardening world as well?
Yeah, or is things are changing a little bit, mainly because we have the introduction of a lot of pests that we've never seen before. I mean, the one that strikes me that everybody saw starting back in about 19 or about 2009, 2010 was the brown marmorated stink bug. Mm. Now the new pest is the spotted lantern fly, which is coming in and is savaging a lot of fruits.
Now, you know, with the stink bugs, when they started coming back, which I thought was a new thing, they were saying that they're coming in boats. Is that fair, or is it because you said that we used to have them that you're seeing them again? So how does that work? I mean,
well, they're both. The brown marmorated stink bug, I mean, we have stink bugs, but our stink bugs, our native stink bugs, are a brown and a green stink
bug. So they're a different type.
They're a different type.
Okay.
The brown marmorated stink bug basically came in from Asia, and it was probably brought in something that was shipped in a container or any one of a number of things.
Interesting. Okay, so we have our own, but we also have those who come in, right, who migrate.
Right.
My type of stink bugs, I guess.
Yes.
All right, very good. And so when you guys have, you know, now that we're moving into more organic, right, type of farming, but you also have, you know, this new bugs coming out, or, you know, things, pests coming out. So how are we balancing both of them? Because it really feels right. I mean, from somebody who, like I said, it's very, very bad at gardening. It just really feels like having a pesticide. It's just the easy fix to go ahead and protect your food. But we've learned through a lot of study that that's not necessarily the most ideal, right, when you look at how that really comes back and affects you once you eat it, once you consume it. So Is there a balance? Is there really a balance? Is that a fair question? Or, you know, how are we?
Absolutely.
How do we look at that?
Went to a red IPA?
You're into my talk tonight.
Okay.
I'm presenting a talk at Elk Ridge Library tonight on weeds and pests in the garden. And when you talk about vegetables, which is one of the things that mostly my talks are geared to, because that's what I really do, there are a number of ways that you can basically stop the pest from getting to the plant. So we'll be using, or I'll be talking about, row cover, which is basically a spun-bound polyester that you just put over the plant. It allows the light to come in, and as long as the plant doesn't have to be pollinated to produce fruit, you can keep it covered and the bugs won't get into it.
Okay. So there's ways around it.
There are lots of little tricks of the trade, as we call them.
So let's remind everybody, somebody who might be listening or watching and might be interested in learning more, where is your talk tonight?
The talk tonight is at the Elk Ridge Library at 7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock. Okay.
And it's 1 hour long.
And it's an hour long. So plan for that, 7 o'clock tonight.
We also have a concept called integrated
Pest IPM, management.
Integrated Plant Management.
Okay.
Pest management. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't say it right. Which was really borders on what you were talking about. Compromise.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to say we're going to do everything organically.
Yeah.
But there are times when you need to use some pesticides. And so they try to balance it.
Mm, okay.
And it's an interesting concept. And it's realistic.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's frequently discussed by some of the professors at the University of Maryland and how to do that intelligently.
Mm-hmm. So that we can use some of this, but in a way that maybe does not affect us? Is that kind of like the goal? Is
reduces
that the compromise?
Risk. Okay. It's a way to reduce risk.
Yeah. And we only talk about the use because we're not pesticide applicators, because we don't have a license to apply that. We only talk about organic pesticides. So we start off with insecticidal soap, and then there are a couple of other organic pesticides that we will talk about.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. very, very interesting. So how do you guys do your work? I know you guys said that you go out and educate. So, talks like the one you guys mm-hmm. are doing tonight at the library. What other kind of ways are you guys using to educate the community on gardening?
I educate I'm part of the Grow It, Eat It community for the University of Maryland, which is a signature program of the University of Maryland. And I will go into the four community gardens around Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
So there's West Side, which is the one I'm in currently. There's Long Reach. There's Lake Elkhorn. And then there's also a community garden up at the Howard County Conservancy up off of Route 99. And I'll go in and basically talk to people about gardening. And if they have a pest problem, I'll be carrying my folder with all the different pests in it that the University of Maryland tells you how to treat for.
Interesting. Are the gardens around the county, are they supervised by you guys, or like how do people get involved with that? Is that through the county?
Three of them are supervised by Columbia Gardeners.
Okay.
And the one up at the Conservancy is supervised by the Conservancy.
So if you're interested in learning more about this opportunity, definitely get in touch with Columbia Gardeners or the Conservancy, you said?
Yes.
Directly and get more information on how to get involved. I know that you have to apply early to get a plot in there, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's great. I used to have, at my previous job, I had a coworker who would always bring a zucchini. Mm-hmm. She would always bring us, green peppers, tomatoes. What else did she bring us? And cucumbers. So I knew that I had my fix of vegetables for the summer, fresh vegetables for the summer with her. And they taste great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they
mm-hmm.
really, fresh vegetables, fresh fruits really taste great.
Yeah. And in fact, if, when you said subscribe early, there's a waiting list for all those. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we need more community gardens in the Howard County area. And we've tried to establish them, but have had minimal success in doing that.
We do some other things in the county. We do consultations. We have a committee called the Baywise Committee.
Okay.
And members of the Baywise Committee go, we have a web page, because we all have web pages, and you sign up there to have a consultation. And a team, about three master gardeners, will come out to your home and advise you on improvements for your landscape, ways to control stormwater problems, a variety of problems,
mm-hmm.
and they'll discuss it. They'll discuss if it's a shaded garden, ways to keep your shaded garden blooming nicely. If it's all out in sun, some plants that maybe are drought tolerant, so you don't have to water as often. And they discuss it with the homeowner, and then afterwards a report is sent to them summarizing everything that was discussed, so they still have the information at their fingertips.
That's great.
And we do this not only for homeowners, we'll do it even for businesses, we'll do it for government agencies, if you have, landscaping areas around your buildings. And this has been very successful.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see the value on that. And this is all free, is that correct?
Everything is free.
Wow. Wow, you guys are providing a great service.
I'd like to also mention, I've spoken to some people in other states,
mm-hmm.
and in other states, they charge for that service, and we don't.
Right. So kudos to you guys for for keeping this free and, you know, accessible for everybody. Let's dive a little bit more into composting. You know, after, like I said, it's National Learn About Composting Day, and we've barely touched on it. We just said that this has been around for ages. So let's start by telling everybody what composting is, because with people, with some people that I talk to, it still seems to be kind of like a foreign concept, which has just been around for many years.
I like to tell people, remember, if it's organic, it's going to deteriorate down. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time.
Right.
And what we do with composting, in we talk about backyard composting at your home to make life easy. And if you make sure that you compost the correct items, for example, you do not put in a compost bin meat products, milk products, or oily products.
Okay.
Because you don't want to attract unsightly mammals from the community. Best way to put it. You will find, you'll have, it, if you just put like your salad stuff, leftovers and stuff like that, and even lint from your dryer can go in if it's from cotton.
Really?
Yeah. Tea bags, coffee grains. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do some paperwork and then you shred it. Well, I take that shredded paper and just put it in your compost bin. It's paper. It's just going to deteriorate down. No problem.
Huh, okay.
Everything just deteriorates. You put in your peach pits, your watermelon rinds, and things like that, and it all deteriorates. And you get lots of worms coming up and feed on it, and it, you know, slowly deteriorates. Now, there are methods to speed up the process.
Okay.
Basically, they tell you to turn it with a pitchfork, and if it's very dry out, add water, because it's like cooking. You got to have water to cook. Got to have a liquid. But if you just dump the proper stuff in your compost bin, it will all deteriorate.
Okay. Mm. Now, once it's deteriorated, what am I doing with this, right? Because, I mean, why are we composting? What's the purpose of it?
Okay. Well, I always say the main purpose that I've in today's society, because we're basically an urban society, mm-hmm. is putting less stuff in our landfills.
Okay.
I feel really good about that when I'm not putting stuff in the landfill, and then I get a bonus. I got compost. What do I do with my compost? Mm-hmm. Well, if you notice, most of the soil in this area is clay, and it's very hard. And if you mix that clay with compost, the compost is a nice, rich soil. Mm-hmm. It breaks up the clay, and your soil will now retain water better after it rains. It will has more nitrogen for the feeding your plants. Can you think of anything else, Kent?
No, it basically
that's basically what it is.
Retains water and retains nutrients.
The nutrients. Okay. Some people just put it sort of like a little bit of a mulch on top of their soil, but I like mixing it with my soil, and I've done that in certain flower beds of mine, and the soil now is rich and beautiful, and it doesn't look or feel like hard clay anymore, and that's kind of nice.
And I would think the plants are also going to bloom more, or like
they grow better. Yes, they grow better.
Yeah, they thrive.
Yeah, I don't fertilize mm-hmm. because it's such rich soil there. Everything grows beautifully. I don't have to do anything else.
Now, a concern that I've heard from some neighbors is, what about the smell? Doesn't it smell? Is it gonna just, you know, rot, or is it gonna bring, like you guys were talking about, you know, mosquitoes? We didn't go into the mammals, but you know, yeah. We talked about maybe flies or things.
Well, first of all, there really is very little odor because it's just organic. Mm. It's vegetables. It's not meat products. Mm-hmm. They say you can get it, and you know, but if you do it correctly, there is no odor. It just doesn't happen.
Okay.
There is no problem there. Was the other part of your question? I'm forgetting now.
You talked about flies, worms, flies, and but stuff. Like flies and other things.
The
like
only
that.
Thing I found is sometimes in the summer, I'll see not really regular flies, but little small things I call gnats,
mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
I tell people just put a layer of newspaper over your stuff in your compost bin, and you'll get rid of the gnats, and the paper's going to deteriorate. So you don't have to take it out. Mm-hmm. And I do that maybe once or twice during the summer if I see some bugs flying around. And that solves the problem. Easy enough.
But when we talk about adding water to compost, to get it to compost, okay, we're not talking about adding a lot of water. The compost should only be about as damp as a wrung-out sponge.
Yes.
Okay.
So it shouldn't be totally wet. Okay. It should just be damp.
Okay. Now, county has an initiative right now called the Feed the Green
Green bin.
Yep, thank you for the green bin. How is that tying into composting? Because if I am, correct me if I'm wrong, but from our previous conversation with Mark DeLuca from the county, he kind of explained to us that that's what we're doing with these green bins, right? Basically, correct. We're putting all of the things that are compostable in the green bins that will be collected and taken into the correct. Landfill. So, how is this all working together? I mean, if you don't want to have this compost in your house, or if you don't have the space, maybe because there's people who live in condos and apartments, they don't have really the space where to have this. Mm-hmm. You put that all on there, and what's the county doing with all this? Do you guys know?
What the county does is the county has actually built themselves a very large modern compost facility up at Alpha Ridge. And all of their compost, they take basically everything that comes out of the green bin, plus whatever is taken to Alpha Ridge with regard to leaves or manures or mm-hmm. anything like that that's all organic. And it's all basically mixed together up at Alpha Ridge. And they compost it, and they develop temperatures in their compost piles of about 160 degrees, which kills all of the weed seeds and everything else. So you can actually buy compost from Alpha Ridge that is totally sterile. They have lab results on all of it, so you can see what's in it. And it's just a great garden amendment, and we use a lot of it.
Wow, that's great.
I'd like to add something. There are new rules now with the green bins. Okay. I just learned about it. In your green bin, not in your home composting, but in a green bin, mm-hmm. you can now put in meat bones, shells from fish, which is something we never did before.
Right, right.
And just in the green bins. To give you an idea what I do at home, because I have a green bin and my own compost bin, I know that my compost bin at home doesn't get that hot.
Okay.
And so when I'm pulling weeds, I put that in my green bin.
And that was going to be my question. So, when fall comes around and we're gathering all of the leaves and stuff, mm-hmm. we should just, I just heard you say leaves, so we should just dump them in our
You can put
compost?
Them in the green bins, yes.
Okay, when we mow our lawn, we should just put mm-hmm. that in our compost home?
No.
No, okay. Yeah.
When you mow your lawn, you should do what's called a grass cycle. Okay. And what grass cycling is grass cycling is a method to keep all of your grass cuttings on your lawn. And if you do that, you provide your lawn with about a pound of nitrogen during the course of the year, so it's less fertilizer that you have to add at the end of the year.
So you just dump it back on it?
Well, you don't. When
don't
you
gather
cut it,
it,
you just don't. You don't pick up the cuttings.
Okay.
So you don't pick up the grass clippings. You just leave them on the lawn, and they basically deteriorate and compost right into the lawn.
That's great.
It's also suggested that when you cut your lawn, you should have cut your grass so it's 2.5 to 3 inches tall.
Okay.
It gives a little bit of shading to the ground. Hopefully it'll stop maybe a few weeds. And as I said, and because you're just cutting a little bit off the top, and if you mow often enough, never collect them. Never collect your grass clippings.
Right. It's not really going to show anyways if it's that little.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're right about that. That's great. I never thought about that. And, I do have these dry patches in my lawn that just don't grow every year. I'm always frustrated because I'm putting the seed, but it just, unless it really, really rains, then it kind of catches a little bit. But then if it's hot, which is going to be, or it's starting to be right now, then it dries up again. And I've never been able to figure it out.
Well, the best time to renovate your lawn is in the fall.
In the fall?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the second best time is during the winter.
Wow.
Yeah, not spring.
Yeah,
it should be prepared by springtime.
Yeah.
It should be ready by then.
Yeah, it should be going. And the University of Maryland, if you go into the University of Maryland HGIC, so if you just search for Home and Garden Information Center and you do a search for lawns, it'll give you all the information you ever wanted about lawns.
And we think about spring and summer and fall kind of, right, as the times where you really need to be worrying about it. Mm-hmm. But I think spring and summer are really the top times where we really pay attention to it, right? Because in the fall, it kind of takes care by itself, other than the leaves, right, that we mm-hmm. just have to go and rake. that's it. I mean, the grass doesn't really grow that long because it's cold. So, I mean, I really don't pay any attention to it. But you just said that that's when I need to be paying the most attention to it and start prepping it. That's really, really interesting. That's really great information. And I hope everybody listening and watching is finding it just as interesting and as informative as I am.
I'd also like to mention at Greenfest here at Howard Community College, we always have a number of us representing the different, as I said, committees from the Master Gardener program, and we talk about different items. We give out literature to help people. We even put together, in fact, I brought a copy here, of gardening tips. You're a new gardener, here's some basic tips to make your life easier. So we have people from Grow It, Eat It, from Baywise, and from all sorts of things. And we're there every year.
That's great. And before we wrap our conversation, we're getting to the end of our broadcast, but I know you said that you can get a free composting bin for home, so I definitely want to tell people where to get in touch with you guys so they can go and get it. And I also wanted to see if there are any requirements for people to be able to have this at home. Is there like a certain size feel that they need to have it? I mean, are there any type of specifics where this needs to be placed or anything like that you guys look at? No?
The only requirement is you have to be a Howard County resident to get a free bin.
Okay.
There are no other requirements. You want to put it next to your house, we wouldn't recommend it, but you can always do that. There are some people that believe it should be in sun. Other people think it should be in shade. And everybody has their rationale for each.
the best rationale is put it where you're going to use the compost ultimately, because that way you don't have to move it.
Ah, oh, that's great. That's right. A great suggestion, Mary Lane, right?
Yeah, where it's convenient for you. Mm-hmm. And what we do, and we have as our webpage, there's a link there which tells you where to get the free bins. They're given out at Alpha Ridge and the libraries at specific dates. At Alpha Ridge, it's the first and third Saturday in the mornings. And the others are specific dates, so I can't just rattle them off, which would be foolish.
And is this, has this been something that degrades over time and you need to go and get a new one later? Do you only get one for as long as you're a county resident? How does that work? Do you guys know?
No, it doesn't degrade over time. It's basically...
It's thick plastic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's... So
you just get one per family.
Okay.
And we haven't been giving out that long that we can really answer that question.
But it's a great program and it's a great initiative. And I think we all need to really find out more about composting because like you said, I mean, it keeps a lot of stuff out of the landfills. And I think that's, if we're not doing anything else, that's one little step, that easy step that we can all take at home and really help our planet, thrive and reduce our... reduce our prints here for the future generations. So thank you guys so much for talking with us.
Welcome.
Let's tell everybody, remind them one more time of your website, and I think that will close our broadcast for today. So if either one of you guys want to give us the information how to find out more about Master Gardeners, the tips on gardening and composting.
What? Just all you have to do is search for the Home and Garden Information Center. I can give you the URL, which is umd.ed or extension.umd.edu/HGIC.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Howard County Master Gardeners, if you just research that, you'll find our web pages.
So just Google it out, find them. That's how I found you guys. That's where I got, how I got in touch with you guys. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate you taking the time and coming this morning to speak with us here at Dragon Digital Radio.
Oh, you're certainly welcome.
Have a wonderful Wednesday, and we will be back tomorrow.
Yep. See you guys.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.